Good morning, DVD Radio here. I'm cleaning up the house. I've got a contractor coming by to look at something, but while I'm at it, I don't know, I got a little feedback. I've been doing a lot of communication lately on many fronts, and I got a little feedback, and the feedback kind of looked like this. I'm not completely sure what you're trying to say some of the time. Now, this wasn't feedback on the 10 hours or whatever I put up yesterday or anything like that. It wasn't about talking. This is about things I write. Did you know I write and post things other places? Yeah. Well, but then the second part was, and so I thought, okay, well, can I get some constructive criticism? And the second part was, well, no, because what I like is that you're expressing yourself. And I said, well, the hard thing to do is express yourself in a public place with all these animals out there ready to tear you to pieces because they find a weakness. You know, so that's what people do, and it's the blood sport of the day. And then the person said, well, why don't you, if that's the problem, is you don't know how to word things because you don't want people to attack you, why don't you try telling me what you were trying to say without wording it a certain way? Just do it however you want now. It's not, you know, I'm not going to tear you apart. I said, okay. So I rewrote the thing about the same length, sent it. The person understood perfectly, and not only understood perfectly, they truly appreciated it. So I'm trying to ask myself, what is it that I'm protecting myself against? This is not working. I can't be doing it like this. If I have a better mode of communication, but how would that's my question here with this preaching stuff, because I get followers and unfollowers. I've got new followers, but people unfollow me. But I've noticed a lot of this following and unfollowing literally on all these. Obviously, Instagram, we know, is rigged. I know other ones are too, like Twitter. They're rigged. People follow you. They have these like programs and stuff. It'll follow you long enough so you might do a follow back if you do that stuff. Then they unfollow you. And I've had the same, because I got an app to watch this behavior. And I've had the same, 82,000 followers, accounts, following and unfollowing me repeatedly, sometimes in the same day. And then I've got a ton of things that unfollow me that are account suspended. Okay, I don't know what that is. So these fluctuations and everything. But that means literally not one person has ever encountered my page, probably even clicked on an anchor link to listen to one of these before. Although I do think there are a couple people that have, and I do think that there might be some people that have some interest, but I don't think anybody wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole. And I don't really care on some level, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it, because the thing is, see, I got the constructive criticism from the person who didn't want to give me any. And that's kind of how it is. People don't want to give it to you because they don't know exactly what to say. And you know, not knowing what to say is the conversation we need to have. Because I'm communicating. See, I've had to study psychology a lot, and I know what psychosis is. And psychosis is when you have your own reality and you walk around in it. Now, this is a medical definition of something that can be definitely rediscussed under faith. But anyway, medically, you know, you walk around with a different reality. It's how you experience life. And usually, you know, when you get to psychosis point, you know, there's very many levels, but whether it interferes with your life or not is an issue. But an artist is somebody, or a lot of types of thinkers and so forth, are people that think they have an understanding on something. Like, you know, some philosophers, they come across and they begin to think about problems and they present, hey, I think you could create a way to break it down upon these foundational principles I'm going to express to you. And people have done that, and that's been kicking the can down the road, I would say, a lot of the time for the good. Because these are the enterprises that run alongside culture. Unfortunately, there have been different times, like with Sigmund Freud, where the psychologist created culture. And that's what we have to avoid. But with this Christianity, creating culture is what God wants. Anyway, whatever it is, we're supposed to be creating something of significance and beauty for other people to marvel at, so much so that some would become rivaled to jealousy, prompting them toward faith. Yeah. So, you know, all of this is on the table. But people don't, if you don't know what to talk about, you don't know what to say, that's fine. I mean, I try to look at myself a lot of different ways from the outside so I could figure out, oh, the psychosis thing, you know, to try to interface with this world so that they realize that I understand their point of view and I understand how they look at me. See, I know how to, I've been doing this for a long time. It's almost impossible to put out as much content as I have over the years and have as little feedback as I do, positive or negative. I'm not getting a huge disapproval where no one can stand it. I know how to do that, but I'm not trying to. And then I'm not trying to win anybody's favor. But at the same time, what I've decided is if I keep maintaining it the way I am, I'm waiting for the shift to be at the hands of the power of God. But that means that he's the anointing that he tried to give me is now able to penetrate any defense, any wall, because it will be something. See, a few times in my life, I've experienced coming into, you know, contact with a preacher. You know, like, I'm going to give you an example. I'm not ashamed to tell the truth about, you know, literally everything over time, as long as the wolves and thieves don't kill me. But Paul Washer, there was a time in my life where I felt like there was everything was dry, everything was dull, everything was boring, everything had been done. I couldn't wring it out of my faith. It wasn't coming from my church. It wasn't coming from my daily life. And I kept seeking and seeking and seeking. And somehow I came across a Paul Washer sermon, and he moved me. And I follow Paul Washer's sermons. I didn't know if he was still alive or anything when I did it, because that's how I would tend to find things. You know, you just start and then you find. I'm not one of those like people that needs to know everything about everybody all the time. I leave it up. I'm like, okay, let's check this out first. Well, then somebody told me that his doctrine may be off on this, that, or the other. And I don't really follow people anyway. But that experience showed me that one among others. I mean, I want him to get credit for that, man. He's a passionate person, and I don't know what people are talking about these days. It's like, how far can you go before, you know, you either hit a different level, the same level, somebody gets you for something. I don't know. I pray he's doing great. But listen, since that can happen, I know, and I've had that with many other things. Like, if there was an issue in my life that I could not find somebody that talked about, I mean, there was a time about Pokemon where I was like, Pokemon is freaking me out, man. And I don't mean to use a vernacular, but Pokemon is bothering me in my life because I can see, I've heard things about it being like this, and now it seems to be taking that form. So what is there to know? Well, you know, you want to find some information on that. A good person that will preach a long time on the subject is hard to find. And when you find them, it's like, yes. And then you can go and take some of the information contained in there. Because when they keep referring to the Bible, that's the ground. That's the common ground. So you're like, yeah, I knew it was biblical. I'm seeing this. And you can branch out from there on your research and endeavor to make sure that you've got a bead and control on what's happening around you so that some kind of demonic entities don't make a foothold in your life and start, you know, I don't even want to say what they do when they get a hold of your kids. I can't describe it right now because I'll lose too many people. But so anyway, that's why I look for the feedback too, because it shows me that I'm beginning to pair and interface with people in a way that is an exchange. I do not want to do this one way all my life. There are things I'd like to be able to offer to people, you know, and there are people out there right now that I know, you know, there might be all these people wondering, well, what this, that, or the other. There are plenty of people out there that don't care and wouldn't be judging me. They might not understand what I'm talking about half the time. But if they knew I was available, like, I'm one of those people, I'm available. Like, if you need me and you're not going to try to get me to give money to something that I don't even know what it is, because that's every time someone strikes up a conversation with me on, like, Twitter or any other place in the background, most of the time, they're just driving you toward a web page or something they're trying to sell. And it's like, dude, this is not an actual experience I'm having with you. This is like my nightmare. So please just leave me alone. Because I'm not going there. You will not find that. If you think you found a sucker, then why are you writing to me? Because you should look at my page for a second and you'll realize you're talking to the wrong person. I mean, that's what I say about that. Well, okay, so what's our interaction level? Like, whose buttons can I push? I've written to some of the so-called celebrity worship singers. Do you think that they'll write me back? I've had one write me back. And it was, you know, keep a safe distance type of response. I'm being honest with you. Now, I don't have that status on my own of any kind. So would I question the person's judgment for keeping a safe distance from somebody that they don't know? No, I wouldn't question it. However, I will find out someday, will I be able to have the time? Is that what my mission field is to read what people write to me, take a long time to think about it and respond? The answer very well might be no. I might have somebody else do it. I don't know. I just know life can be so busy. But at the same time, I would like to be able to... I think the tragedy that we see, one of them... Okay, nobody likes how I talk about the church, but I'm saying sometimes some of the tragic events that do occur where feuds begin is because people have an opinion about some public preacher or pastor, and they begin to air it just publicly about that person, and that's not the protocol in the Bible. And they're like, well, no one can talk to the person. Everybody's told them the same thing, so they're going to publicly dress them down. And I mean, I don't know, because I may or may not do that or have done that or will do that. I don't know. But I know it's a little tricky, and it's not something I personally at all want to be doing. So that's why myself, you know, just in terms of what's biblical, if I can't reach an accountability level on the people I'm affecting where they can actually come to me, if I have that much presence in their life and they can't talk to me and say, look, I have a grievance with this line. I have a grievance with this thing you said at the concert, and it's on every tape and I have to listen to this, and it sparked a marriage feud between my wife and I or something like that. I mean, I've heard things and I was like, I cannot believe that this major... There was one incident, okay? Major incident, okay, in my mind. The singer from a big-time Christian band, I was listening to a live album that was not just one... With secular artists, live albums are just like these little spin-off things. A lot of times with Christian artists, that's like an album they put out. It's not like something that, oh, somebody cut it just to make a little extra money. These guys are way more in control of their central career. This is an actual album put out by the artists, okay? And in the live song, the singer apparently is like very good looking and stylish. So he's singing and it's the live part and he starts talking to the audience and he's repeating back what people are saying, and he says to one of the women, what's that? You want to marry me? Or something like that. And I'm just thinking, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And why would you put that all over the place? That is one of those questions where you just told, you know, every person that has like fleshly impulses that you're a single man, okay, or not, you know, either way, but that you're at a concert where you're supposedly worshiping God and you're talking to the crowd and a cute girl or something, woman, who knows what age, we don't know who this is asking you if you're married. Or if she can marry you. And you're going to tell everybody, this girl right here just asked if she can marry me. Is that supposed to be like her special moment of where she got to talk to the celebrity and he pointed her out? And that to me is bad fruit, dude. I'm sorry. And it's just a judgment. And that's all it is. I can't do anything with it. That's why I wouldn't go and then dress down that band. In fact, I still listen to the music and I say, you know what? I probably just didn't understand it, and this was just a thing, and it's over with now. So I'll continue to look at the content of the music. What are they trying to say, and what is their life saying? Because it's that important that if we're going to call people members of the kingdom of God and then disseminate their work, we should have a working knowledge kind of who they are sometimes. And I have been guilty of that because I'm so busy that as I go, I take certain music and I will publish it and post it online. And here's my true, honest, full-on opinion if you want to know. I don't fully approve of all this music. I don't fully approve of all the things that the bands may or may not do, because I've heard so many terrible stories about Christian bands that call themselves Christian bands. They put out hits, and then you find out in articles and magazines and things like that, that none of them were even Christians, or they stopped being Christians along the way, or the band is later broken up, or whatever. You know, so I don't, and those are only some examples. It doesn't matter. Some of it's just like biblical error. I have a hard time a lot of times with the phoenix imagery that is constantly in the music about people that are like going to be victorious. You know, I love that fight music, you know, it's like workout kind of tape stuff, motivational. But some of those lyrics sometimes and some of the themes are not biblical. Some of the songs that I've heard sung have little did they know, you know, appealed to the wrong element of the society for the wrong reasons too. And that's something none of us can control. But again, the Holy Spirit is in control. So when we're discerning, we're saying, okay, maybe there's something in the way of either me or them or whatever. But you can think about these things. So with me, when I'm looking for the constructive criticism, you know, it's because I'm trying to get a non-offensive. You see, my job as a Christian is to actually cause change. My job as a Christian, you see, God didn't come to give peace to the world. Jesus didn't come to give peace. He began a war against evil like no one's ever seen. That's a dramatic way to put it, and it doesn't fit with Scripture. You can't talk like that for long. But the truth is, you know, when you go out in the world, you're going to come up against, every time somebody does something to somebody else that you see that's wrong, which is many times, that is an actual faith experience. You decide what to do. I'm not saying everybody has to do anything, but that's a faith experience because it goes into your faith. When you see people doing things that are wrong, you've got choices. And some of it's just going to be, if you can't do anything because you don't know what to do, it at least needs to be your memories. You can't wipe it out of your head. Well, I saw somebody being very rude to a homeless woman sitting on the street, and I didn't do anything. Well, your faith should be talking to you. You didn't do anything right then. Okay, don't get upset. You weren't ready. God's not going to make you do things you can't do. But your faith should be talking to you. This is an issue. I care. God, please, and you could now go from there. You could just pray for the woman that you saw. Or you could pray for the circumstance. What is going on here, Lord? What are we going to do, God, about this problem in our society? And God will say many things to you. And one of the things that we like to do is brush everything off with the statements where Jesus said you'll always have certain things among you. Okay? But we have to remember that, you know, the justice of God has a way of shining light. See, and this is why, you know, missionally speaking, when my goal is revival, I know everybody would be like, well, that's a lot of people's goal. My goal is revival, but my goal is also, I want to get across continents. Like, I got my eyes on some places I'm hoping to get some aid to in the name of Jesus Christ, you know. That's what's on my heart, right? So I'm looking at all this, and, you know, this is why the question is, how do I... God gave me a little vision one time. Like I talk to God all the time. Like, I couldn't tell you. I've told people I'm privileged to have the lifestyle that I do. It doesn't always last for long periods of time. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's what I'm trying to take advantage of right now. But listen, this is what God showed me. He said, hang on a second. I just got a wave of stress. I just gave myself a wave of stress. I started thinking about all the stuff I have to do in a few minutes. I am getting this place cleaned up while I walk, but I can't do the dishes right. Okay, but no, he showed me something once, and I can't remember what I was talking about. It doesn't matter. Like, again, I came on to share one thing. I could ramble on forever. Like, literally, I could go for like 2 weeks if the subject matter kept coming in. I don't know. That's the hard thing about being the host guy. I've just got to bring up subjects. You don't know what you're going to get. Who would listen to this? I'm all over the place. The thing is, though, if we had a subject, like, you pick one. Like, whatever I was talking about, well, that's a subject. Well, I forgot what it was. But if I wrote it on the wall or something, and then co-host, well, I can't really do that right now because I don't trust people. And that's just my own thing. I'm working on that. But I don't trust, and that's why, I get it. It works both ways. That's probably why no one's commenting on my stuff. As soon as I can trust somebody to, you know, want to co-host with me, but what are we going to talk about? I mean, I would love to try that. I just don't have time, I guess. This I can do because I don't have to think about it. I'm just wandering around. But Alright, well, it's looking pretty good. I gotta close up the windows, though. It's starting to get a little toasty in here. Normally I keep them closed during the day, but I'm trying to air the place out. Oh, man. So, oh, I know what I was gonna say. Not just now, but like when I was coming on. You know, I get all these things. I would like to explain something to people. See, over time, my relationship with God has changed. God touched me 2 times in my life with supernatural visions. Okay? Significantly impacting my entire life at the time. I don't know what was contained in the second one, because it was so much stuff. And that's exciting to me. You know, I've heard all these stories about stuff, but I got to have that experience. So I have all this in me. But there's, as I go, see, something's under development all the time. This relationship, it's going somewhere. It's like, you know, this relationship isn't going anywhere, you might say to somebody, because, and you shouldn't say that, but because you hit a brick wall, or there's like, you know, there's no fire, or there's just, we don't share the same interest, people say. Well, when it comes to God, it isn't like that, at least for me, you know, and it shouldn't be for anybody, because God is like unfathomable. He's the most interesting being, you know, so you get to go, and he can give to you. He can give to you right now, right this second. You could be healed right now. Just like that, you could be healed in God's name, in Jesus' name, right now. That's the kind of God he is. So when you go through every day and you're looking and hunting for him and keeping him close and getting him, you know, his counsel on every move you make and trying to stay in the spirit, you know, there's your matrix right there. It's staying in the spirit, you know. Then God can begin to interact with you in bold new ways. And he makes his presence that much more known. And in my case, I have a long history of being a deep thinker. You know, a lot that annoys people. I don't really care. It's my history. It's my heritage. It's my lineage. It's my way of doing things. It's what came into this world with me. I was going to be like that. So now that I'm like that, if God wants me to stop doing it, I want to be more simple-minded. That's what I'm headed toward. But all this deep thinking means that I've tried to talk to people. I don't know how big my mind is or how it works, but I'll tell you something. I can see pictures in my head. I can see all kinds of things, but I can't draw. So I know that, I mean, I can draw a little bit. I could probably take the time and learn, but right now, that ain't what I'm doing. Pardon the language. I just do that for effect. But some people can draw these amazing pictures and do these sculptures and all these things. So if I think, well, I have pictures in my mind, what am I thinking? Oh, does that make me great? Oh, I'm a genius now. I have pictures in my mind. Well, what about all those people? You think they don't want, they're geniuses or whatever, but they've got pictures in their mind. Well, I've partnered with God, and there are times when I get a combination of pictures and words, but all of it's detached from your normal everyday, what you might think of as being able to tell one from the other. The pictures and the words, the images, the ideas, the numbers, all of it. It will come in these little fragments at different times. When I'm going through something, or when I'm listening to music even. If it's the subject at hand and God wants to, I think, elucidate the subject, if that's the word I'm looking for, he will add another something. And he showed me so many things, and I used to keep them all to myself because I was so afraid of the enemy. Because the enemy's got plans, guys. He's a nasty, nasty man. He's not good. And he is doing horrible things, and he's got plans. And I wanted to be bulletproof so I could talk about the things that God showed me, that the devil wouldn't be able to use them. And then sometimes God's showing me, well, Adam, if I can show you what God does that the devil can't imitate, then I can show it to you and then you can use it freely. Because what happens is, people write like science fiction books and stuff like about like the future, what might happen. Little do they know, you're almost speaking it into existence. As people encounter it, it begins to create sort of a washing and painting effect in their existence so that they begin to bathe themselves in the idea that this opportunity exists should it have any interest for them. And this creates a culture of people longing for things like destruction and Armageddons and all that sort of thing, because in it they're freed up from their regular life and they can finally become the hero of their own life. They can finally be a survival tale, them against the world, and then they can refine love and refine truth and refine adventure again in their life in a time when they feel stale and bored and lonely. And I used to be one of those people. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There were times when I really wished that something bad would happen. But now, I'm not that person. Now I have a real healthy respect for the bad things that happen because I have more love for people. I know if those bad things happen, I understand the disruption for the small children, and that's all I need to know. From there, it really could be nothing. But just them alone, you know, is enough for me to not want this because it would take way too long and there would be way too much suffering. Why would people want this? And what would come out the other side? What would come out the other side would be vigilante hell and all this kind of work. And who would settle it? And how would it begin again? And what would be the rebirth? Only Christianity could really harness the power that it would take to make a stand and survive in such a world. But who wants such a world? Nobody. So why imagine it? So then your mind's like, well, what can it do? And then you're like, well, we're not dominionists. We're not going to make the world perfect and then hand it to God. That's what some people believe. Do you know what kind of war would be involved in such a dangerous thought? That's the kind of thought where the Antichrist comes to power. No, that's not it either. We know what's going to happen. We know that some part of the world, whether you're involved with it or not, is going to flake away, break away, and it's really where the whole world's been going all along. And if you don't get off the ship, it's going down in flames. And that's the message. That's all it is that if you can't get out of it and you can't get off it quickly, you might go down with the Titanic, you know? But this is not going into that. This is a hellfire, consuming fire, burning up of everything that everybody cherishes is going to be gone. And these are things people want and worship and cherish, but all of it's going to be gone because it's not even anything that matters. Well, okay. So with that said and that thought, then, you know, what is it that we would do with our time here on Earth? And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to... Oh, I got to get going here in a second. I got the guys almost here. I thought, well, you're going to have to figure out... If you're not going to give the world back, you're going to figure out what's the battle between now and the end of my life. And when I've come to those places, and that's how I live my life each day, is what's the battle for now? What can I do? What's the maximum thing? What have you got? Is there a goal? Is there an outcome? Is there something long term I can work for while I do these daily things? Okay? And in that, God will show you beautiful things because He is a master of creating beautiful things. Well, all this evil is coming up. God is not trying to release evil and awful things through His people. He's trying to release beautiful things. And only God knows what a beautiful thing is. And that's why I can't share everything unless it's been tested and retested with my own life to make sure it works. So with that said, I gotta run, everybody. Hey, I might be back later. I know no one's listening, but hey, I have a good time doing this, so I'm gonna keep at it. God bless you. Amen.